Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for having breakfast at Ruby's today. Today is actually a solo episode of the podcast. My name is Ruby. And even though this podcast is called Breakfast at Ruby's, it's usually not about me. I usually have conversations with fellow content creators, with people that I really enjoy, people that I'm getting to know. So if this is your first episode, I definitely, you know, if you want to get to know me, that could be a good episode to get started with. But if you're more into the conversational style and if you're more into the interview kind of situation, then definitely check out any of my previous episodes. I have a ton of episodes. We're on episode 54 right now. So I have 53 episodes worth of conversations, and I have some panels. I have like a birthday special that I did. So definitely a lot of content to go through. And I kind of wanted to start by talking about the evolution of the podcast a little bit, because this podcast kind of started as a way for me to like chat with my friends and to kind of, it used to be more of a pop culture thing. Like we used to bring up topics from pop culture, things that happened that week, and like we would talk about it and we would have those discussions, and it would be very like relevant to what's going on in pop culture. But I think as the podcast kind of progressed, it's not that I didn't think that content was substantial, but it was definitely more like I wanted to get into things that were a little bit more like that had a bit more depth to them. So at some point the shift turned into like social issues and stuff like that, which is something that I'm very proud of. But I think when you're covering social issues and things that are going on, or people that are doing or saying problematic things on a weekly basis, it can kind of sour you a little bit. And that's something that I kind of felt as I was doing it. It kind of weighed on me a little bit. And I felt that if it was weighing on me a little bit, it was probably weighing also on the people like watching or listening to the podcast. So then I kind of turned the podcast slowly but surely into more of a conversational style, where I just invited a couple people over and we just chatted about things and whatever we wanted to talk about. We just kind of slowly turned into that. And now to the present day, where it's literally it's been a one-on-one conversation with me and just one person, and we just go back and forth and we kind of talk about all the things and nothing at the same time, and we have those kinds of conversations. And it's very interesting navigating that, because like in the SEO of things, which for people who are not super aware or super familiar with what that means, it's basically like searchable, you know, things, and being optimized for like Google searches or YouTube searches and stuff like that. It's definitely not like the best. It's not like ideal, but it's definitely the kind of content that I have become more like proud of, if that makes sense. Because we kind of do talk about all of the above, all of the things that we kind of got into in the past, as far as like pop culture, social issues. We kind of just naturally bring them up because it's just a part of who we are as people, and especially, you know, as queer people. And of course, like the different guests that I get, I try to, you know, get guests from all walks of life and people that have different experiences to talk about. And it ends up being a thing where like we're not actively like trying to educate, or we're not actively trying to like dig for personal experiences or anything like that. But we just kind of end up talking about whatever, you know what I mean? So that's kind of a thing that I wanted to bring up. And I'm very curious to hear from you watching or listening to this, like what kind of format has been your favorite, or if you have a favorite at all, or if you like how it's been. And this is also my first solo episode, so it's definitely going to be more of a stream of consciousness, and it's a little bit of a checkpoint. Because I've been wanting to do one of these episodes for a little bit, and I remember being asked before by friends and stuff, and they would be like, would you ever do like a solo episode? And I would always be like, I don't know, like I never thought about it. And then the more I thought about it, I was like, that could be an interesting thing to do every once in a while, to kind of like do a little bit of a checkpoint after a few episodes of the podcast and see where we're at and see where I'm at mentally and like answer your questions as well, which the people watching this on Twitch actually are asking questions. And I actually also did a post submitting for Priyal to submit questions on Twitter and on Instagram and all that fun stuff. So for future episodes, I would really love to like get into things that y'all may be curious about me. Because again, like I said, this show isn't really about me. Like I am usually the vehicle in order for like ask other people questions and to get everyone else's opinions. And I do share a little bit of my own, but I did think that this could be an interesting moment for viewers and listeners to kind of get a little bit of an insight of who I am and things that you may wonder about me for, you know, from outside streaming or about streaming. If you have any questions about streaming or if you have any things that you want to hear my take on about, you know, pop culture things, whatever, what have you. And I figured we could get started with some questions. I don't know how long this episode is going to be, but it's going to depend a little bit on questions and stuff like that. But I want to get started with the questions. I do have one from my lovely friend Spinblend. And the question is, it's not much of a question. It's more of a prompt. And it says, I just want to hear you talk about things that you're excited about. And that's actually something that it's like very interesting to me because we kind of mention it on the podcast every once in a while where like we don't usually focus on joy, right? Like when, you know, when we want to talk to someone, when we want to rant, sometimes it's only about the negative stuff. It's only about what's on our mind and what's bothering us and stuff like that. So it's very interesting to hear that question. And I mean that when I say that because for a while, and this is going to be sad hours territory, but for a while, I think as the pandemic hit, I think I was just getting to that point. Like before the pandemic hit, before March 2020, I was steadily building not confidence necessarily, but like a sense of like things and goals that I wanted to do in life, right? I was like, next year I'm gonna travel, next year I'm gonna do more, right? Like I had my first like plane ride from Portugal to Paris. And I was excited to do more of that. And I got concert tickets to see the Pussycat Dolls at the end of 2019. And I was just like very excited for all of the things. I wanted to save money, go to TwitchCon, go to all of these things. And then like as 2020 hit, it definitely kind of like, especially March as the pandemic hit and like lockdown and all that started, it kind of crumbled all of my like hopes for the future, and it kind of destroyed, and it sounds so dramatic, but it did destroy that sense of like building goals and building expectations for things, because I found myself being like, what's the point of making plans for like, let's say like next year? Because, like, I don't know what's going to happen next year. I don't know if I'm going to be there. And not in a grim way of, like, I don't know if I'm going to be alive. But, like, I don't know how the world is going to be. I don't know if I'm going to be able to travel. So 2020 was very that. It was very dark in a lot of ways because of that. Because I was, like, I don't want to be, like, it sounds very sad, but I was like, I don't want to be hopeful for anything, because what if I get disappointed? What if something huge like this happens again? Or, you know, if we don't get out of it, which was kind of in a way, it was smart of me to do so, because, you know, 2021, it was still very the same as far as like, at least for me, I was still not getting out of the house. I just recently got my first dose of my vaccine. So like, it was definitely one of those situations where I wasn't about to make goals. I wasn't about to do things. And now that I got my at least the second dose, I'm excited for the prospect of, you know, roughly a week from now, I'm getting the second dose. And I'm excited for the prospect of like doing stuff. But at the same time, I am very, very cautiously optimistic because we're already seeing situations in which like there was like a Harry Styles concert and then like a week later people got COVID. Even though like according to the details, I think that whomever got COVID probably got it before the concert because the timeline doesn't seem to be correct as far as like the concert happened and then like a day or two they tested positive. Like that's not how COVID works. Like if anything, 1 or 2 days they would maybe start developing symptoms and then later on that week they would have gotten tested or something. So that timeline seems a bit odd. But even like watching the VMAs recently, it was very odd seeing like a crowd and how crowded it was and people like very in close proximity and stuff like that. And with a lot of events, people just say like, oh, they're probably vaccinated. They're probably, you know, they have to bring something to say that to prove that they're tested or vaccinated or whatever. But it's really rough to see it because it's not that I don't believe it, but it's more like, is that enough? Like there's other variants as well. So like, is it realistically going to be safe for like, let's say 2022 to do stuff? Like I still am like kind of afraid. And I don't know if it's like a me thing or I don't know if it's a realistic way of thinking because you just don't know, right? But at the same time, you don't want to be negative and you don't want to like not make any expectations for anything. So, you know, I guess actually answering your question so we can move on to other questions. I would say that I'm excited, yes, for the prospect of doing more things. Like I will do them safely, like stuff like simple stuff, like going to the mall on like a Monday or a Tuesday so it's not too busy, or like, you know, going to a park when it's not like super busy either, still wearing a mask of course and still keeping social distance, but you know, definitely experiencing and feeling like I'm actually living life again. Because yeah, my last year, even though like I feel like for some people just life was never not like different. I feel like for some people, they still went out, they still went to clubs, they still went to parties, they still went to do all these things, like to restaurants and stuff like that. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing, but I think I'm definitely in that boat with, and I think a lot of people are in this boat as well, of like, I just stayed at home for the whole year, for a whole year, I should say, not just 2020, but still like now towards the end of 2021. So it's just like cool to like, for example, my mom is going to have like a week or two off from work, and it's exciting to think about like, oh, maybe we can make plans because I'm going to be vaccinated by then. So like maybe we can make plans to like go out and like do something, you know? So that's kind of, I know it sounds very silly and it sounds kind of like maybe not that exciting for some folks. But for me, that's like definitely like a big thing. Like it just, I guess a big thing and a small thing at the same time, just like doing those small things for me is going to be really, really fun and really important for me because I miss going like shopping, especially clothes shopping, because I'm very picky with textures. So I can't just do online shopping. I have to like, even if I can't necessarily try it out at the store because of, you know, safety precautions, just feeling the textures of the clothes will give me an idea of like, okay, this is gonna be comfortable or this is not gonna be comfortable, because I'm just very picky with that. But yeah, thank you for your, I was gonna say question, but thank you for your prompt spin. I would love to hear from y'all on YouTube and Twitch and stuff like that, social media, the things that y'all are excited for and what you're looking forward to. And if you had similar experiences that as I did, as far as like mentally how you have dealt with the pandemic, or if you were still able to make goals for yourself or find things to be excited about and stuff like that. So I would definitely love to hear from y'all about that. I will say, before we get into more questions, this past year has definitely been like an interesting like moment to reflect on a lot of things. I feel like I've seen a lot of people reflect on their like gender journey. And I think for me, it wasn't necessarily reflecting, but it was more like putting a name to things, and not in a gender way for me, but more so in like a mental health thing. I think over the past year, kind of recognizing that some of my traits weren't necessarily like me being silly or me being a clown, like I usually say about myself. And it was like, oh, that those are actually like ADHD symptoms. Oh, those are actually like OCD symptoms or depression or anxiety, autism, whatever. I'm not saying that I have all of those things, but I do definitely have symptoms that correlate to some of those. And it's been interesting to kind of normalize that for myself and seeing other people kind of accepting or finding those diagnoses for themselves. Because I think with the fast-paced world that we kind of live in, more so actually before the pandemic, of course, I think we all just kind of were on like a go-go mindset. Like we weren't stopping to think about anything. We were just going and not really slowing down or reflecting or whatever. Like we were just kind of surviving and doing our best and just doing everything that we are kind of supposed to as a society, like grind, you know, and like work hard and do things, get things done, all that stuff. So I think a lot of people finding themselves at home and being stuck at home, if you will, kind of changed some things for them. And yeah, I think for me, it was definitely more of a mental health thing of like, I wouldn't say coming to terms, but more of like realizing what I could be working with and finding ways to work around them, you know? Because for me, it's definitely been a journey of like me not feeling productive enough and then kind of realizing that whatever I have, whether it's ADHD, whether it's OCD, whatever, it's not necessarily like working against me. I just have to work with it, right? Instead of me like feeling bad for myself that I can't do certain things or that I can't concentrate sometimes, or that sometimes like what seems like a small task ends up being like a big burden for me, that I can just like work around that and set realistic goals for myself and set realistic plans rather than like, you know, stacking all these things and then being disappointed with myself constantly over something that I actually don't really have control over, if that makes sense. So it's definitely been interesting kind of like realizing that over this past year, right? Yeah, but we do have a question. We do have another question from Spin. And the question is, speaking of cooking stream, what are some of your best food-related memories? What Spin is referring to as far as the cooking stream goes is that I actually, on my Ko-Fi page, I actually have a goal for whenever I hit 10 monthly supporters, I'm going to be doing a cooking stream. I've done a baking stream before, and it was very fun. We did, I don't know if it was much of baking. I made a dessert. I made a tiramisu on stream. I don't know if that was much baking as much as like a kitchen stream, because there's no baking involved really in a tiramisu, but alas. The question is whether or not if I have like any particular like or special food related memories. I would say that I think some of it is like it's hard for me to explain, but some of it is like I only kind of remember certain things if I'm eating a specific dish or if I'm eating something and I'm kind of like, oh, this reminds me of like middle school, or this reminds me of high school, or this reminds me of, you know, a thing that I did or whatever. I would say though, like one of my fun memories as far as like food was actually, I went on a date, with someone. I just kind of, I don't know if you would call it a date. I just basically spent like a couple days. There was a guy from Canada that visited Portugal, and I happened to see him on Tinder, and we matched, and I was like, oh, I can kind of like show you around, but not really. I just, you know, I'm from, you know, Porto, but not from the city. So I'm kind of like, I don't know much, but I can just kind of like show you around or like just hang out with you or whatever. And it was really cool actually taking him to a restaurant that I really enjoyed and showing him around and like experiencing like a traditional Portuguese dish with him and like seeing his reaction and like kind of experiencing that with someone that had never had that experience before. So like that's a cool thing for me, and that's definitely something that I like doing with food, is like when I enjoy something, like sharing it with people that I enjoy, right? And sharing those experiences with them, and not necessarily like expecting them to love it as much as I do, but it's kind of like sharing something that you enjoy with other people. And I kind of see that as like kind of a love language in a way. I think it's similar to, you know, like recommending a song to a friend or something like that, where you're like not necessarily expecting them to love it as much as you do, but you're just kind of sharing. It feels like it's a bit of yourself, you know, like you're sharing something that you really enjoy, and there's that vulnerability there. Because you, like I said, like you don't know if the person is going to like it or not, or how they're going to react, but it's always interesting seeing how that kind of goes. That's definitely like one, like definitely a fond memory that I have with food. Yeah, just like simple things like that. And, it's always interesting. Like whenever I went on certain trips, or did certain things, like I always remember where I ate, you know what I mean? Like I don't remember a lot of details from like when I went to the BTS concert, or when I went to, a lot of my travels were concert related, if not all of my travels were concert related. And I don't even remember details from the shows themselves, but I remember like where I ate, like on the way there, on the way back, like I remember stuff like that very vividly. And sometimes I don't even remember like what train station I went on, or what the name of the airport was necessarily, or just like certain details, or like the streets I was in or whatever, but I vividly remember where I ate. So like food is always like a special thing to me. I'm not much of a cook, so that's why a cooking stream would also be very interesting, because I think it would be, I think I would definitely have to do something that's particularly like simple, so that I wouldn't, you know, be overwhelmed by cooking and then dealing with a live stream and doing all of that. I think it would definitely be an interesting moment, an interesting situation. that could be very overwhelming and it could turn easily bad, very, very, very easily. So, yeah, I would love to hear if y'all happen to have any like food related memories and any of your particular like favorite dishes or anything like that. I love food. I love me some food. I love definitely like a francesinha is like it translates to little French. It's like a Portuguese it's like more of a Porto specific like dish where it's basically like sliced bread and it has like different types of meats and like sausage and a lot of cheese. And then you just pour like a special sauce that's made with like a lot of ingredients and spices. And I think beer is also like one of the ingredients, or it can be one of the ingredients. People make it differently, of course. And every restaurant has their own like specialty sauce, which is what makes it like special. And it goes to the, like you put it in the oven with the cheese on top and all that stuff. And when it comes back, it's like you have basically like that delicious sandwich, like a pool of that sauce, and then like you can get fries on the side and you can dip them in the sauce. My mouth is literally watering as I'm talking about it. It's so good. Like sometimes I ask my mom to make it for like my birthday. I'll ask her to do it. But the interesting thing about it is like eating it in restaurants is like the sauce is different or the way that they prepare it is different. So you always get like a slightly different experience. There's also like vegetarian and vegan options these days, and I would definitely love to try them out and see if they compare, if they're just as good or if not better. So yeah, that's like one of my absolute faves. I love anything like pizza. I'm a fan of fast food. I can't lie. Every time I go to like a concert, every time I used to go to a concert, I miss concerts so much. But when I used to go to concerts, McDonald's was always my go-to because there's usually a lot of them around. Like, you don't have to, you know what I mean? Like, you don't have to look for a McDonald's. Like, it's usually, like, either close to a train station or close to, like, a mall or to, like, the venue that you're going to. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to actively look for a McDonald's. Like, it just kind of is there. And just, like, fast food in general, like, it's good for like days like that where you're gonna be standing up possibly for a long period of time and you don't know when you're actually gonna be able to eat something, because a lot of the times either they don't have food at the venue or like you either lose your spot or it's extremely overpriced at the venue. So what I like to do is like I like to have like a burger at McDonald's and with fries and everything, and then like that usually will keep me, or at least I will feel full for like a long time. So that's usually what I would do, especially because like a lot of concerts that I went to were like you just had to wait in line, and like it was like general admission. So whatever place in line you were in, and however, you know, wherever you kind of landed, I guess, would be where like how it would determine how good your experience at the concert would be, right? So a lot of the times it would be like, especially if I went either by myself or even with someone, it's like if I went to some place new or a place that I didn't know much of, like it didn't matter if like one of us stayed in line and the other didn't, because like I always had that fear of like, what if I lose like my friend or my mom? Because my mom used to go to concerts with me because I like to play music around the house every once in a while. And then like my mom will end up like liking some of the songs that I listen to. And sometimes I show her performances and stuff like that. So she ends up like recognizing and liking the artist. And so like, I remember asking her once to go to a concert and she was like, oh, you're silly. And I was like, no, I'm for real. Like if you want to come, like I know that you really enjoy, like you really like them. And she ended up like going with me and it was like super memorable. The cool thing for me about concerts as well is like, and that's why I miss them so much. It's like some people, and I understand what people mean when they're like, oh, why go to a concert and be uncomfortable and like be annoyed or it's noisy and you're going to be so tired and all that stuff when I can just like watch performances at home, or I can just like watch, like I can just listen to the music on my own or whatever. But the cool thing about concerts is like, if you're going with someone that, you know, is a friend of yours, or, you know, if it's a family member that you get along with, like whomever, like if you, again, like I said, it's like, if you go with someone else, it's like sharing the love that you have for something in a way that nobody else that you know in real life can kind of relate to, right? Because even like for some concerts, like not everybody can afford to go to a concert. Not everybody can actually make it to a concert because of a lot of different obligations. So like even like friends that you may have online and stuff like that, like it's only an experience that those people that went to that concert or that tour or whatever, like it's only an experience that's unique to those people. And so you have that to remember, like your experience in general, like how you got there, and if you got lost on the way there or on the way home, or how the travel was or whatever, the merch that you got. And a cool thing as well is like months later, years later, as you listen to those songs on your like Spotify or your albums or whatever, you'll remember the songs that were at the concerts that you went to, and you're going to remember like, oh, that was so cool when they did this song, or it was such a memorable performance, or, you know, like the song Dionysus by BTS will forever be attached to the concert because it was the song that they opened the concert with, and it was so memorable. I feel like the opening song is always the most memorable in concerts because it's that moment where you're like, oh my God, they're real people. We're not behind a screen anymore. They're like, I can see them the same way that I can see all of these people in this venue. So like that first song, it's either like, for some, like there's a concert in which I don't remember what the opening song was because that's how excited I was. I literally blacked out for the first song. But for a lot of other concerts, like I can remember vividly that first song and how I felt and how excited I was. And like listening back to it, I can, you know, I have those memories attached to them. That BTS concert, honestly, if there was like a last concert to go to, I was very happy. Like when the pandemic hit, I was like, if I can never go to a concert ever again, I'm glad I went to that one. Because it was so hard to get tickets to it. And it was such a memorable experience. Like one of the members, Jungkook, actually like he performed a solo song of his, and he actually went on like a wire, and he actually like flew. And you can actually like, because I was like in the stands, I could, we could see him way better than we saw anyone else. So that was extremely cool. Like every time I hear his solo song, it always reminds me of the show. And it doesn't remind me of like any of his particular performances from like award shows or from anything on YouTube. It just reminds me very specifically about the concert. And just like stuff like that is what sticks with me. You know what I mean? And that's why I love concerts so much. And why I miss them so much. I would love to go to a concert again. I don't know when that's going to be. I don't know when I'm going to feel comfortable. I don't know who's, you know, what artist is going to make me be like, you know what, I'll risk it for them. Like, I don't know who's going to be the first artist to get me to, like, say that. But I would love to go to a concert. And to, like, get a seat that's, like, closer to the stage as well. Or, like, in a place where it's super easy. Like, you can see them very well. So it's, like, a way better experience as well. Like, I would love that. I would love that. That's, like, my main goal within the next few years. Like, I hope that we as a society get to a place where it's, like, safe or safer to go to concerts again. Because that's, like, definitely a huge thing that I miss. Because it was always an event. Like, I would go to, for a few years, like, I went to a concert, like, once a year. I think I missed, like, in that span of time, I think I went to, like, there was a year where I went to 2 concerts. And then I think the year after, I didn't go to any. And then the year after was 2019. And I went to CBTS at the time. And it was always so worth it. Like, I spent so much money to go to those concerts, but for me it was extremely worth it, especially now, right? Because you look back and you I feel like so many of us have regrets on the things that we could have done or we should have done before the pandemic, and like, oh, I wish I went to that concert, or I wish I did that thing, and like, now we're kind of all regretting certain things that we wish we did or didn't do, I guess. I would say that another thing that I am excited about, I say excited very cautiously, is the prospect of dating. Because let me tell you, the isolation of the pandemic was definitely a thing that I was kind of used to, because I'm always kind of a homebody, and I'm somebody who's like, you know, I'm usually at home. Even before the pandemic, I'm usually at home. But it's definitely something that, like, and I think for a while too, because my I think my sleeping schedule got messed up. So I think at times it was like not having that physical interaction with another human being was rough. Like, of course, like, I see my parents every day. For some days I barely saw them because of my sleeping schedule being so messed up. But it's definitely different, you know. Your parents don't fill the same voids that a potential romantic partner can, or even like a friendship situation. It's not the same. It's definitely not the same. And that's something that you just couldn't really do. Like, during the pandemic, we're still in the pandemic, but during like lockdown and stuff like that, you can't like go on your phone and go to Tinder and be like, yeah, let's, like, what are we going to talk about? It's like, we're both stuck at home. You know what I mean? Like, we don't have anything special to talk about. We don't have anything cool to mention to each other. Like, we're both just stuck at home. So that's definitely a thing that I kind of, I'm interested in the prospect of dating someone. That would be a really cool thing to happen. That was like a big goal of mine for 2020, and it ended up, you know, going down the drain for obvious reasons. And so it would be really cool if I got to date, in the future, in the near future, preferably in the near future. But as far as like the pandemic, I definitely want to hear more about the positive side of thing. Was there anything that y'all learned? Was there anything that y'all realized? Anything positive? A lesson that you learned, or an introspective moment that brought positive outcomes into your life? I kind of already mentioned some of mine, but I would love to hear from y'all watching and listening to this. Because, definitely, honestly, actually, I already talked about a lot of it as far as like mental health and stuff like that. But I think like a big one for me was actually, I used to think that I was like, oh, I could never be like polyamorous. Like, I could never be in a relationship with multiple people, because like, I've always felt like I would be the jealous type, and I would be that person to be like, oh, I, you know, we're in a relationship, I'm yours, you're mine, kind of thing, and like, nobody else kind of matters. But as I don't know what it was, but one day I just kind of was like, I would be in a relationship with like other people. I think it would definitely have to be a thing where I would have to keep my ideals of like what a relationship is. I would definitely have to keep those in check in order to like accommodate for the fact that it wouldn't be like a one-on-one situation. Not in a bad way, but more in like, you know, allowing for the other person to have the freedom to like text whoever they wanted or to talk about whatever they wanted. I feel like in a way though, where there would be open communication, and it wouldn't be like behind each other's backs kind of thing. It would be an interesting situation for me to kind of, I wouldn't say like experiment, but I feel like I've kind of been into that idea of like, why just one person? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think it would be cool. I say that in theory, I think it could be an interesting situation to, you know, have multiple people that you love in different ways, right? Like the same way you have friends that you love differently, right? There's friends that you love because you have similar interests, and some friends have other interests, and you kind of hang out with whatever friends that, you know, have those experiences in common with you, or those interests in common with you, right? So, yeah. I want to go to like a coffee shop and just like, you know, meet someone and like have a conversation and just, you know, go from there. Definitely like do stuff like that. It would be very, very nice. Oh my God. It's been a very fun podcast episode, I will say. I was very nervous because like, being my first solo episode of the podcast, I was like, I don't know how this is gonna go. People don't often send like a lot of questions and stuff like that. So I did have a couple questions, and I am very thankful to you, Spin, for those questions / prompts. But it was kind of nice to just like chat about like what was on my mind and what I'm looking forward to in the future and stuff like that. I will definitely say this. I'm very excited moving forward for more episodes of Breakfast at Ruby's. I'm going to have like more guests lined up, and we're going to have conversations. And you can support me on Ko-Fi, Ko-Fi. A perk of being a monthly supporter is that you actually get shout outs at the end of videos and streams, and you also get like videos early, you get exclusive content, all of that fun stuff. And it's a really good way of supporting me, because unlike with Twitch subscriptions and stuff like that, in which I get like half of it, with Ko-Fi, I get all of it basically. So it's really cool, and I wanted to give a shout out to my supporters over there. So special thank you to Spinblend, to Smallzy, Salika, Kaiju Juby, and mostly Batfly. I appreciate y'all very, very much. Thank you for your monthly support over there. I would also like to thank everybody watching this on YouTube and listening to this on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Make sure to leave a review if you're watching this, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. And yeah, I'm just very thankful to you all. I'm very thankful for my audience on Twitch. I appreciate y'all very, very much. If you made it this far, you're amazing in every way. And I will see you / I was gonna say hear you, but you can hear me, but I can hear you. I guess I'll be here next week, either on Twitch, on YouTube, or Spotify, or anything. Whatever, however you found me, check me out on my other platforms. ProjectRuby.eu is where you can find everything. That's it, y'all. I'm terrible at outros. I'm just gonna go. Bye. Thank you so much for watching and listening.